Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we had some major news in the MLB offseason this weekend. Jacob deGrom has signed, and it wasn't with the Dodgers. We're going to talk about that, what that might mean for the Dodgers, and some rumors about Justin Verlander. We're going to talk about the Dodgers shortstop situation, some rumors about two of the big-name shortstops on the free agent market, including the one who just played for the Dodgers last year. And we're going to talk about Chris Martin not coming back to the Dodgers, signing with the Red Sox, and what that might mean about the Dodgers on a bigger story. So that's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodgers fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, my name is Jeff Snyder. That guy next to me is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And as you can tell, if you're watching on YouTube, I have a different backdrop today because I am in Southern California for the winter meetings. I'll be heading down to San Diego around the time that you're listening to this episode. Vince also will be heading down there. So Vince and I will be in each other's presence on Monday. I don't know if we will record an episode together or not. We haven't gotten that far into our planning, but we'll definitely see each other and give each other a bro hug or something. So I'm looking forward to that, Vince.
Yeah, always good to see you, especially in the off season when we've never seen each other in the off season. So
that's true. Yeah, we've seen each other at Dodger games and at spring training, and that's about it. It'll be fun. Maybe we'll rub beards together. You think that's weird? Yeah.
No, we can make it look good.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll get pictures if we do. Yeah, big news happened in Major League Baseball this weekend. Probably the top pitcher on the free agent market. It's hard to say who's the top pitcher because every pitcher has different flaws and whatnot. But Jacob deGrom, who, when he's healthy, he's probably the best pitcher in baseball right now. He signed with the Texas Rangers for 5 years, $185 million, I think. So $37 million a year for the next 5 years for Jacob deGrom, who is going to turn 35 next season. And I think in June, I think he's 3 months younger than Clayton Kershaw, something like that. So yeah, it's I think it's a longer deal. I don't think the average annual value, if anything, it's a little light. I think people were maybe expecting deGrom to get into the 40s, but getting 5 years and getting $185 million total, I think both of those numbers out as a lot more than I expect anyway. What do you think, Vince?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's basically what got him the deal, is the, you know, 5 years with a 6 year option. It was said that the Mets originally were offering, you know, somewhere in the 3 year deal. And actually it was a little surprising that it was reported that the Mets never really got a chance to make a final offer, that by the time the Mets found out, DeGrom was very far down the road, had already signed with the Rangers. And that's definitely true, because as soon as it was reported, within the next hour or so, the Rangers posted it, already had the jersey swap ready. I mean, they might have had jersey swaps ready. We had jersey swaps ready for my job, but you know, they had everything ready to go. It was officially signed. And you know, as someone who's, or at least for us, we're still kind of waiting for Clayton Kershaw to sign. We know it's going to happen. They've said it's just a matter of lining up dates for physicals, blah blah blah. But for everything to happen that fast meant that, you know, he was going to jump on that 5 year with the 6 year option, and that was never going to be in the cards for the Dodgers. So Dodgers were never really in on DeGrom in that sense. And the biggest thing that it changes now is just how the Dodgers are going to go after, or now the new competition they have for the other starting pitchers on the market, because now the Mets have money to throw at Justin Verlander that maybe wasn't going to be there before, because you didn't get the feeling that the Rangers were going to go after Verlander if they didn't get DeGrom. It seemed more like a Rodon after DeGrom type of thing. But now the Mets have money to throw at Verlander, and that's a big, I mean, not a huge detriment. The Dodgers could pay whatever they want and do it if they really want Verlander. But it's just another team with deep pockets that can step in and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I changed tabs. I'm working off my laptop here, which I don't normally do, and had to find my mute button. Yeah, you know, one of the really interesting things about all of this is that is the tax rates. Texas, while the Rangers don't have the advantage of being a good team or a competitive team, obviously they're trying to be competitive. They spent a ton of money last offseason. They have already spent a ton of money just on this one signing, and obviously they're committed to trying to win. For Jacob DeGrom, if you look at, you know, the $37 million, if he got that from the Mets, obviously the I think the top federal tax bracket is 37%. He's paying that no matter what, which means that whatever 37% of $37 million is, so that's, you know, $15 million or so is already going to federal income tax. But in New York, the top state income tax rate is about 12%, and which means he would be paying another $4+ million in state income tax in New York. Similar rates in California if he had signed with the Dodgers or any of the other California teams. Texas has no state income tax. Now, they have higher property taxes, but they have no state income tax, which means that Jacob DeGrom, and obviously it's not directly that, because baseball players, they play tax, they pay taxes based on where they play the games. And so, but 81 of his game, or 88 games, I guess, of his games will be taxed at Texas rates. The games played in Arlington and Houston, which means he's saving a couple million dollars. That kind of shows that teams like the Yankees and Dodgers, because they are in states with higher state tax rates, they're going to have to outbid some of these teams sometimes if it is about the money. You know, it's, and it's always about the money, but it's not always about the actual dollar amount. Sometimes it's about the perceived money. And so sometimes the guy just wants the biggest contract. And even if his actual take home money is the highest, but I think Jacob DeGrom, because of his unique situation, obviously he's never been poor. He's made good money in his career, but this is his first time hitting free agency. And he's almost 35 years old, because he didn't even come up to the big leagues until he was in his mid 20s. And, you know, he signed that extension with the Mets, so he's made good money, but this is his only real chance at big free agency. And so I think he probably was, I think that was probably consideration. I think it was for Corey Seager too last year, that Seager, basically the Rangers get a discount or the Dodgers get a surcharge, depending on how you want to look at it, because of the state tax rates.
Yeah, although I don't think Seager, I don't think there was a discount there at the end of it, because I don't even know if, you know, if these other guys are going to get that much money. But real quick, coming in, John Heyman just posted an article that says that Justin Verlander has two-year offers from multiple big market, or has two-year offers from multiple big market clubs, presumably including the Dodgers and Mets, who seem to be the co-favorites. But there are indications that a deal could be struck if any of these teams adds the third year.
So. Yeah, and Carlos Baerga, former major leaguer who has posted inside sources before, and as far as I know, always been wrong, but maybe not always. He said that the Verlander and the Mets are close to finalizing a two-year deal. And I think he threw out the number like $86 million for the 2 years, something like that. I don't necessarily think it's actually that close, but yeah, I think Verlander is on the verge, and you know, that tax rate thing applies to him too. If we're talking about the Astros still being involved, because the Astros are in Texas, of course the Mets and Dodgers are on very similar footing. California's tax rate, I think, is slightly higher at the highest rate than New York's, but they're very similar as far as that goes, competitive wise for Verlander. So if it really does come down to the Dodger Mets, taxes won't come into play, but overall it's an interesting thing. And the other difference for Verlander is he's already made $330 million in his career. However much he signs for, he's not even going to notice that he has that money ever. Like his great, 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 great grandkids might say, oh man, only great grandpa Justin had signed with the Mets instead of the Dodgers or something. But Verlander doesn't care. That money's not the thing. It's more of a ride thing. And so that's why it seems like the Dodgers are a good fit for him. But, you know, who knows? You never know what a player prioritizes.
Yeah, I mean, the other part that everyone's mentioned, or at least in some of these articles, has been the Verlander and his wife, Kate Upton, already have a home in Los Angeles. So, you know, that could be as easy as that.
Yeah, and that's definitely something. And I think Verlander is more likely than some free agents to consider that because the money doesn't actually matter. You know, he at his age, you know, in his old age, probably is at least as interested in convenience as he is about maximizing the top dollar. But the Dodgers are still going to have to pay to get him if they want him. So that's the starting pitching. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about the shortstop market and some rumors and rumblings about a couple of the big names there. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are back, and we want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. When you're done with this, for your second listen, if you're looking for something, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game caps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Vince, the shortstop market is still, you know, we've spent a lot of the time this offseason already talking about what the Dodgers might do at shortstop. Just on Friday, we talked about the possibility of Gavin Lux at shortstop again. We also talked about the possibility of Gavin Lux at third base. That possibility lasted not even through us recording the episode, as Kinzel was already backtracking. And by the time a lot of our listeners had even listened to the episode, Colton Wong had been traded to the Mariners by the Brewers. And so Colton Wong won't be coming to the Dodgers. So I guess that means no Gavin Lux at the hot corner, as if that was a possibility anyway. So Gavin Lux is still in play to be the shortstop. But if the Dodgers do go the free agent route, there were reports this weekend that Trey Turner, who has been a Dodger for the last year and a half, has had two meetings with the Padres, and that he expects to meet with them again during the winter meetings, which are in San Diego. The Padres originally drafted Trey Turner and then traded him just months later to the Nationals in an ill-fated trade. And I don't know if it's like Trey Turner to the Padres. It doesn't make sense to me. And we talked a little bit about this the other day. I think in the context of Xander Bogaerts, maybe that they already have Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado and Ha-Sung Kim. Trey Turner could play, you know, he could be their shortstop. They could move Tatis to the outfield, move Kim to second base or something. But they got Jake Cronenworth. Trey Turner's played the outfield before. It's been years, but he was a center fielder for a little while. I think his second year in Washington. So I don't know. The Padres have spent a lot of money the last few years, and it seems Trey Turner seems like a weird fit to me.
I think it basically becomes for them the first base market's not that good, and if you just move everyone around by signing a top, you know, premium talent like Trey Turner, then it all works out. Cronenworth goes to first, Kim moves to second, Trey plays short. Tatis to the outfield's already been a topic of conversation, or at least, you know, they said they just want to see him on the field, but realistically, it seems like they'll put outfield. And it's kind of like you talked about with the Dodgers in the past, is the Padres don't have the depth the Dodgers do, so they can you know, they do have areas to improve on, but it's also a matter of sometimes the only way these teams can improve is with top-tier talent in order to boost the overall presence. I mean, the Dodgers didn't technically need Trey Turner when they traded for him. That was more of a surplus in the moment and then a necessity in the next year in case Seager had left, which is exactly what happened. So that was a little bit of you know, and that could be what the Padres are doing here. Like I said, you know, Trey Turner is not necessarily a fit at third base if Machado does opt out, but they could move someone else to third base and keep Trey at short. You know, there's it's, I guess for them, it's just a matter of they'll sign a top tier talent and kind of figure it out after the fact, which is something the Dodgers have done as well in the past.
Yeah. The Dodgers didn't need a first baseman last year when they signed Freddie Freeman. You know, but Freeman, like we said, Freeman's a guy you make room for in your lineup, and Trey, in a lot of ways, is that same kind of player. I'm sure there's some element of stealing him from the Dodgers that appeals to the Padres. I think the Padres are more likely to play that game than the Dodgers are. So there's some of that. It would be interesting. And, you know, playing Trey 14 times a year would be, it would be an interesting thing. You know, obviously the Dodgers are aware of Trey's swing tendencies and his chase tendencies. And so maybe they try to exploit that. But Trey's a very good hitter. He's a very good player. I know when he was on the Nationals, his base running scared me almost more than almost anything. Just him getting on base and then just driving people crazy with his base running was something I dreaded. And so I don't really relish the idea of the Dodgers playing against Trey Turner 14 times a year. One thing that would make it more interesting is if the Dodgers replaced him with Carlos Correa. And there are more and more rumblings that that's a real possibility. I think one of the rumblings was from Bob Nightingale, if I remember that right. And doesn't mean that it's not accurate or true or possible. But the fact is that Bob Nightingale sometimes doesn't get things exactly right. And he said, I'm just scrolling down this article, but he talked about the Dodgers being seen by a lot of people as the front runners for Correa, that Turner is likely to go to the Phillies. Nightingale says all the Padres are, he says Padres might be the biggest competition. And then he said that people see the Dodgers as the leading candidate to get Correa. And obviously the big question there would be, would the fans accept him? And we've had that conversation 1,000 times. Don't necessarily need to rehash that particular conversation right here, but we're aware that that is the issue. And I've seen people still, even this weekend, more people reiterating that if the Dodgers were to sign Correa, they would be out. You know, I guess without relitigating it, one thought that I've had is Correa is going to play for somebody. And Correa is a very good baseball player. He wasn't banned from baseball. And so, like, I'm fine with the team having principles, but it's not like Correa is an active current cheater. You know, Correa cheated. He's still in baseball. He's going to play for somebody. If he's good, I mean, wouldn't that be the best way for him to make it up to the Dodgers for cheating them out of a World Series by helping them win one? Honestly, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, that would be like you said, that would be the way for him to win you over if the Dodgers do sign him, or that, you know, you that was one of the reasons or one of the ways he could help win over. And it's, you know, with Correa, I feel like a lot of the links to the Dodgers are just the fact that the Dodgers can't afford it. And there's not a lot of teams that can really go that, you know, or realistically every team can, but not a lot of teams that are willing to go that much. You know, it's one of those also where the market for Correa will definitely be affected by Aaron Judge. Let's just say the Giants don't get Aaron Judge. Well, now they have, you know, money available to throw at Carlos Correa. And that's something that, you know, is very possible. So for me, it's one of those that the Dodgers can kind of just wait around and, you know, maybe Correa signs one of those similar deals that he did with the Twins, you know, a three, four, five-year deal, heavy AAV, opt-outs after 1 or 2 years or whatever the case is, and kind of go from there. Because, I don't know, I just don't see, you know, I think the Rangers giving Corey Seager the contract they gave him was a bit of an anomaly. I think the contract that Francisco Lindor got ended up, you know, he ended up being really good this past season, but it didn't quite work out the year before. And I just don't see teams giving out a 10-year, $300 million deal, even if it's a guy like Carlos Correa, who, you know, other than the cheating scandal, has been one of the best shortstops in baseball. And since, you know, reportedly, or since he's not supposed to have been cheating, he's still been really good. So, yeah, it's one of those where I think the Dodgers, you know, they didn't need to do it last year because they had Trey Turner, but if it happens again this year and that's the market for Correa, I think they'll jump in on it again. But I can't see them giving him a long-term deal.
Yeah, yeah, not definitely not the big long deal that, and I wonder if any of the shortstops are getting anything like that. Like, that's, like you said, Seager kind of set that market, but it might have been an anomaly, Seager and Lindor. And so, yeah, there may be a lot more competition when these guys realize, oh, I'm not getting more than 6 years. Well, that opens up a whole bigger range of teams who might be in on me.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. Maybe some more movement at the winter meetings this week. You know, maybe we'll get an exclusive interview with Carlos Correa on Locked On Dodgers. Doesn't seem likely, but, you know, you never know. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about one former Dodger who went into the Hall of Fame and one former Dodger who went to Boston. And those things are not the same. But, you know, that's what we'll talk about when we get back. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. At Locked On Dodgers, we believe home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, Simply Safe. And right now, Simply Safe is offering Locked On Dodgers listeners 40% off a new security system. But don't put this off. Simply Safe was named the best home security of 2022 by U.S. News & World Report a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get priority service, priority police response. 24/7 professional monitoring costs under $1 a day. That's less than half the cost of ADT's traditional professional install plans. One of the reasons I didn't get a security system for a long time is because I thought they were super expensive. I thought it was something only real grown-ups did. I didn't think I was a real grown-up. Well, it turns out if you do it right, it's not that expensive, and you and I can both be real grown-ups. So don't miss your chance to save big on my favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe. And if you are watching on YouTube, just be aware the ad at the bottom said 50% off. That was last month's deal. The current deal is 40% off at simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. We are back. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It does mean a lot to us. If you're watching on YouTube, we'd love to hear your comments in the YouTube comments section. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you on social media or email or whatever. We'll give you all our contact info at the end of the episode like we always do. Our last segment, we're going to talk a little bit of news. First, on Sunday night, the latest Veterans Committee vote for the Hall of Fame. The vote was released, and we have a new Hall of Famer. That is Fred McGriff, who spent just a year or two at the tail end of his career with the Dodgers, had his best years with the Blue Jays and the Padres and the Braves, big moments with all of them. And Fred McGriff, great ball player, finished his career with 493 homers. If it wasn't for the strike in 1994 that shortened that season and the 95 season, McGriff easily would have had 500 homers and probably would have been elected by the baseball writers a long time ago. He ended up seven homers short, and so he had to wait for the Veterans Committee. But he was a unanimous pick by all 16 members of the Veterans Committee. Great selection by them. I think Fred McGriff is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think it was a travesty that he wasn't elected by the writers, but I think Fred McGriff makes the Hall of Fame a little bit better, definitely doesn't make it worse. And so I think that's awesome. I was bummed that Dale Murphy only got 6 of the 16 votes. For me, Dale Murphy is a Hall of Famer too. I think, you know, injuries shortened his career, but the voters spend so much time enforcing the character clause to keep guys like Bonds and Clemens and Schilling out of the Hall of Fame. I think if you would use the character clause to give a guy a bit of a bump, that character clause bump could get Dale Murphy in. I was hoping that was going to happen, but it didn't. But yeah, Fred McGriff, Dale Murphy, Don Mattingly didn't get in either. So McGriff was the only one in. Vince, you have any thoughts on any of that?
No. Murphy wasn't really around when Mattingly was playing. But yeah, Fred McGriff, I mean, he was one of those guys that was just kind of there, consistent, you know, a bunch of top 10 MVP finishes, bunch of all-star games, you know, you can't really say never was at the top. You know, he led the league in home runs a couple years. He was like, you know, he was the man for a few of those years down the line. And it's one of those where I feel like if he would have had the 500 home runs, he probably would have got in the first time around, but now he does get in. And I actually got to interview him last year during the playoffs. And he was a pretty fun guy to talk to. So, yeah, the crime dog is in, and I got no issues with it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Bonds and Clemens and Schilling all got less than four votes, so they don't even show up on the results, or they don't know how many votes they got, if any. Kind of a pretty drastic statement by that committee that they're not interested in them. And I was a little bit bummed that they were even on the ballot. Like, they just got done getting rejected by the writers, especially Bonza and Clemens. Schilling, you know, probably would have gotten in or came close to getting in. Not quite the same situation, because people just don't like him. Clemens and Bonds aren't in because of the perception that they cheated. And that perception is there because they cheated. And so putting them immediately on the Veterans Committee when there are plenty of, I mean, Lou Whitaker wasn't even on the ballot. Lou Whitaker should have been in the Hall of Fame a thousand years ago. Bobby Gritt should be in the Hall of Fame. There's plenty of guys who should be in the Hall of Fame who aren't getting fair shots. And so, but yeah, I'm happy to see Fred McGriff go in. He's a guy who deserved it. So that's good. Another former Dodger to talk about is relief pitcher Chris Martin. The Dodgers acquired Martin from the Cubs at the trade deadline this last year. He pitched very, very, very well for the Dodgers. And he won't be back. He signed with the Red Sox, a two-year deal, 17 or 18 million bucks, a lot of money. And, you know, we had a viewer comment on our YouTube episode, even though we didn't mention Chris Martin, but when the news broke, they commented and said it's unfreaking believable that the Dodgers couldn't match that from the Red Sox. And obviously the Dodgers could have matched it. And it's more that they chose not to. And I think that's a pretty consistent approach that we've seen with the Dodgers with relievers. And it's what we're going to continue to see from them, because it's actually worked out pretty well. You know, after 2017, the Dodgers didn't re-sign Brandon Morrow, and he went to the Cubs, signed a big deal, a three-year deal, I think, with them to be their closer, and pitched, 30 games total with the Cubs or something. He wasn't effective. He got hurt. And Corey Knebel pitched well with the Dodgers, signed with the Phillies to be their closer, didn't pitch well, got hurt. You know, Joe Kelly pitched well with the Dodgers, went signed with the White Sox, didn't pitch well, got hurt. It's kind of a recurring thing. These guys in their mid-30s who pitch well with the Dodgers, and then the Dodgers don't go big money and long years for them, and it doesn't work out for the team that does sign them. Doesn't mean that's going to happen with Chris Martin. Chris Martin could be excellent for the Red Sox. It's a two-year deal, not as bad as a three-year deal but yeah, I mean, it's how the Dodgers do this, and it's how they've always done it, and it's worked out really well for them.
I mean, even the flip side of Joe Kelly was the Dodgers got him on the three-year deal around $8 million a year, whatever it was, and, you know, didn't quite go the way it was supposed to the whole time. It worked out in the end, and he gave us some moments, but, you know, it didn't. If you would have said that this is what we got for $8 million, you probably wouldn't have been satisfied most of the time when Joe Kelly was here, just based on, you know, numbers and everything else and health. But yeah, I mean, the Dodgers were never going to give Chris Martin that much money over 2 years, maybe 1 year at, you know, $8 to $10 million possibly. But even then, they got him at the deadline for Zach McKinstry, who was just an extra guy that the Dodgers had, you know, laying around on the roster. They were never going to give him that much money. The reliever market right now is, you know, pretty intense. If guys like Chris Martin are getting $8.5 million, which is what guys like Joe Kelly used to get, which were, you know, guys that were a little more established. And yeah, the Red Sox are desperate for reliever help. The Dodgers were not desperate for reliever help. It's not a matter of could they match it. It's a matter of they chose not to match it. And that's just where it comes down to. And we've talked about the Dodgers bullpen before. The Dodgers could not sign anyone else right now, and their bullpen would still be, you know, a very good bullpen with the ability to get better if guys move either up from the minors and into the bullpen or down from the rotation and into the bullpen. So yeah, it's if you pay, and the other part too, that, you know, not a big deal with the Dodgers, but if you pay a guy like that and he's your highest paid reliever, you're probably going to use him as a closer, or you want to be inclined to use him as a closer, and the Dodgers aren't going to do that either.
Yep, absolutely. And, I'll have to check BetOnline and see if they have lines available right now on which team is going to give Shelby Miller a three-year contract a year from now. But this is what the Dodgers do. They don't pay the big money. Most of the time, Kelly being the exception. They get the relievers for cheap and turn them in guys that other teams want to pay. So that's Shelby Miller probably this year. They're going to fix him, turn him into a superstar, and send him on his merry way. And, you know, That's great. And they do it with starting pitchers too. Tyler Anderson, Andrew Heaney is going to go somewhere. You know, it's the Dodgers have this factory that is working for them, and it makes a lot of sense. I'll miss Chris Martin. I wish he was coming back, but I don't wish he was coming back on that contract.
Yeah. Unless your name's Craig Kimbrough, then you missed the factory part of the show.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it only works on guys who have never been superstars or something. So, I think that does it for today, right, Vince?
Yeah, that's it. The DeGrom news was the big one, and after that, it was just kind of back to news and rumors. But we do have winter meetings Sunday night. Nothing much really happened, but we got two of the main days coming up. So let's hope there's action in baseball, but also with the Dodgers, because it's one of those things like we've been talking about. I just want to see what they're going to do. Like, you know, you the Dodgers team on December 1st and the Dodgers team heading into spring training has been different pretty much every time in the offseason that we've been around. And I'd rather it just happen earlier in the offseason this time.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do too, and hopefully they will make some moves. Vince and I, we will both be in San Diego at the winter meetings. If you're there, you know, hope to see you there. We're pretty easy to spot, especially if you watch us on YouTube. You know what we look like. I know our buddy Tim Rogers, who is a loyal listener of the show. I know he lives in San Diego and was down there at the winter meetings on Sunday. So hopefully we'll run into him in the next couple of days. Any of the rest of you, let us know if you're coming. Either, you know, hit us up, whatever. And thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we'd love if you had 1 or 2 days a month of your rotation. Please tell your friends and family about the show. Maybe they'll like it too. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Imperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.